So Chanukah Sameach to everybody. Nice to see you all here. We are on Shiur 6 of an ongoing series of 10 Mi'at Hashem Shiurim. The topic for today is one of my favorite topics, one of my favorite mitzvot, which is Hachnasat Orchim. We will see that there is a large halachic framework. I've given you 35 sources here, which we'll get through in the next 55, 60 minutes or so. This is a mitzvah that I'm sure everybody in this room is very accustomed to. I'm sure that you all have many people at your tables during the week on Shabbat. Yes, it's one of my wife's favorite mitzvot too, I'm happy to say. We do it as a team. Also, I must confess to having a little bit of a personal connection with this. My name is Avram and my wife's name is Sarah. So, we even have a son called Yitzhak, it's true. And I'm still looking for a maidservant called Hagar. That I haven't found yet. But we'll leave it there. As Avram and Sarah, our apartment in Haranoff is not open on all four sides, but the door is open, and we very much enjoy having people. Now, of course, when you're young, most of the people I normally teach tend to be guests rather than hosts. I suspect the people in this room tend to be hosts more than guests, although we all do a little bit of both. And we'll see that there are different frameworks for the mitzvot, which we will hopefully get to. For starters, let's have a look at the source of the mitzvah. Number one and two are, number one is revision, which from the first shiur which we had, just to remind us what the mitzvah is and how the mitzvah works. I'm sure if you stopped 100 Jewishly Orthodox religiously observant people in the street and asked them, where does it say in the Torah that you have to invite guests? I'm sure people will start talking to you about Avraham Avinu and Sarah, and of course that's the wrong answer. We do not learn any obligation. Avram and Sarah. In fact, the mitzvah of inviting guests, very clearly halachically, is the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. We don't learn any, at least the Rambam Shita, is that we don't learn any obligations in halacha from before Matan Torah. Matan Torah, I mean here from Parshas Bo onwards. We don't learn anything from Sefer Bereishis. Everything we see in Sefer Bereishis is repeated later or is incumbent on us only because of a later mitzvah. We may learn details, which we'll see soon, from Avram and Sarah, but the obligation is in number one, Ve'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha. Let's have a look at this together. This is at least the second time we've seen this source, and we'll see it at least once or twice more. Mitzvah Zashashel Dibrehem, it's a rabbinic mitzvah, says the Rambam. Levakir Cholim, to visit the sick. Lenachem Aveilim, to go to a shiva, lahoti ameis, to bring out the dead, lahachnis akala, to bring in the kala, the lavaita orchim, to escort guests. Now, he discusses that mitzvahs of hachnas orchim as the lavaita orchim, to accompany them out. We'll see why in a minute. Reitatik b'chol sarchi akura, to involve oneself in all aspects of the burial, to carry out the body, leila, tefanov, to walk in the levaya, lisboi, lachbo, likbo, all the kind of burial mitzvahs that we do. Simchas kala v'chatan, interestingly not simchas chosen for kala, but simchas kala v'chosen. The Rambam chooses his words carefully. We'll get to that mitzvah hopefully by the end of the series. Oh, that's not why they burnt his books. But lezad and bechol tarcheihem, and to give them wedding presents. The elu hem gumus chasadim shebegufa. This is all chesed one does with one's body, as opposed to money. She'ein hem shiurim, there is no obvious limit. We learnt in the first class that there is a limit, of course, to chesed, which is when we ourselves make ourselves poor. We talk about that. We talked about that in the first shiur. I suggest you hear that there. V'afal pi shekol mitzvahs elu midivreihem. And here's the key point. Even though each of these specific mitzvahs, including hachnasas orchim, is midivreihem, is rabbinic, it's a rabbinic obligation, hari hem bichalal v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, they're all included in the mitzvah d'oraisa v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Kol advarim she'ata roite she'asu asanecha. Achirim, anything you'd want other people to do for you, you do those things for your brother, but Torah mitzvahs, who is with you in Torah mitzvahs. In other words, just to recap what we said before, the mitzvah doraisa of chesed ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha leaves it up to us to decide what we do and what we don't want to do. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. If we want to do chesed, great, we get a mitzvah. If we decide not to bother, okay. So the Torah didn't tell us we had to. We told us if we did, we get a mitzvah. Come along the rabbis and say, look, if we leave it to individuals to decide which chesed to do, which chesed not to do, so we won't do any chesed. So the rabbis give us a structure of rabbinic chesed obligations. go to a funeral, go to a maybe go to a wedding, go to a shiva, go to a have guests, etc., etc. And by doing these mitzvot, these obligations are upon, and you get the Torah mitzvah via haftar arecha kamocha. So that's the mitzvah that you're doing. Okay, so we'll see some of them. You've got the Hachnasas Kala and the Vaisa Meis. We stop little Talmud Torah in order to do that. So we'll see when we get to Hachnasas Kala, we'll deal with that particular issue. Be'ezrat Hashem. Now, to look specifically at Hachnasas Kala, the Rambam goes on from the first mitzvah, from the first halacha to the second halacha, where he goes straight into Hachnasas Orachin. Excuse me. Number two, Schar Halavaya, the reward for escorting your guests out. Meruba min hakol is the greatest of all. Vahu hachayk, and this is the chayk, the obligation, the rule, shechachaku Avram Avinu, chachakai Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu laid down for us as a chayk. He laid down the infrastructure of this idea for us. V'derech hachesed shenagbo, and the chesed that he did for other people. Machal oivrei drachim, he would feed wayfarers and mashka oisam and give them to drink, umalave oisam and escort them out. And now he has this very important phrase, u'gedoy lehachnasas orachim mehakpolas pnei ha-shechina, which we have to analyze in a minute, which is that hachnasas orachim specifically and uniquely as a mitzvah is greater than receiving the face of the Shechina. And we'll see where we get that from. Shenemar, we'll deal with this psukim directly right now. That when Avram saw these three wayfarers, he left the Shechina and he went to deal with his guests. Taking them out, he didn't grace them, bring them in. And Amru Chachamim, you don't show out your guests as if you kill them. We'll see what the Rambam is talking about. That doesn't apply so much today. We'll see that he's talking about other situations, but still we have a mitzvah of livui. For the guests, but it applies in different situations, different times. You had a question? Oh, we'll get to Egla Rufa. Now, let's analyze carefully the psukim that deal with Avram and Sarah, and we'll see from here many of the details for Hachnasat Orchim. It comes, of course, from the beginning of Parshat Vayera. Immediately before Parshat Vayera, the last psukim in Lech Lecha deal with the Bris Mila of Avram Avinu. So he's had this Bris Mila. So straight afterwards we see the following. Vayera elav Hashem ba'eloni Mamre. God appears to Avram in the plains of Mamre. For who Yosef b'Pesach oil b'Kolcham Ayom. He's sitting in the front of his tent in the heat of the day. Okay, we're assuming now, like Rashi says, that he's just had his Brit Mila. It's not so posh that it happens exactly that in that order, or in that proximity rather. But God appears to him. Uniquely, God doesn't seem to say anything. This is a chat question. Why does God appear to people to give them a message? Avram is a Navi. Here God appears and says nothing. We'll have to pick up on that later, and certainly another time when we do, if we do, because chayla. Vayisa einav. Avram looks up, vayar, and he sees v'hinei shloisha anashim nitzavim alav, three men standing near to him. Vayar, and he sees again. What's the second seeing? The second seeing is more of a I see rather than I see. In other words, even the English word means I see means I can see something, but the English word I see means he realizes what he has to do. And now everyone goes into quick mode. Everyone's running and hurrying and etc. Vayarat likrasam. He ran to greet them. V'pesach ha'oil from the front of his tent. V'yishtachu az, and he bowed down to the ground. And now we have an interesting pasuk. V'yomer Adonai im na matasichem be'enecha al na tavo me'al avdecha. Who is he speaking to? He says, Adonai. We'll see. It seems that he could be speaking to, or Pashupshah, he's speaking to the guests. He's speaking to the wayfarers and saying, my lords, if you found favor, if I found favor in your eyes, okay, Al na tavo malavdecha, please don't pass by, come and eat with me. The problem, of course, with that pshat is Al tavor. We should say tavru. It says tavor. It sounds like he's speaking to a singular. Maybe he's speaking to the head of the three. But we'll get back to that pasuk presently. Yukach namat maim. Let's get a little bit of water. Varachtu agleihem. Wash down your feet. Hishanu. Relax. Chill out. Tachas ha'eitz. Underneath the tree. Ve'chal pas lechem. I'll bring some bread. Vasadu libchem. And you'll eat a full meal. Acha. And afterwards tavru. Now plural. Acha tavru. Then you can walk on. That's why you come to my tent, your servant's tent, by Yomer, and they said to him, okay, let's do that. Now he runs again. He rushes, he runs to the tent. El Sara to his wife, a Yomer, and he says to her, Mahari, rush. Everyone's now rushing. Shloish Sein Kamach Soles Lushi, need 3 seah of flour. 3 seah is a phenomenal amount of flour. 3 seah is a very large amount of flour. It's enough for a large chasna. Okay, not for three little guys walking around. A seah is a very large amount. Oh, so let's see. Lushi va'asi ugois, and make ugots. Ugot here means bread, whatever, pita bread, etc. Of course, there's the whole drash that is Pesach ugot matzot, which I'm not going to get into now. Ve'al abakar rats Avram, and he runs out from his wife. He runs to the cows. Vayikach ben bakar rach b'toiv, he takes a juicy, lovely little cow to make. Vayiten el anar, he gives it to the boy. Who's the boy? Ishmael. Yitzchak was not born. Vayimaher, and he runs again. Everyone's running. Sarah's running. He's running. The boy's running. Everyone's doing hachnachas orchim. Vayikach chema'a, he took some butter, chalav, some milk, uben bakar, and they took the meats. Asher asa, which they'd made. Vayiten lifnayim, and he gave it to the guests. Who Oymed Aleihim, he stood over them, he waited upon them like a waiter, Tachas ate under the tree, Vayochelu, and they ate it up. Vayomru Elav, and they said to him, Ayei Sari Shdecha, where is Sari your wife? Vayomer, and he says, Hine Vayochel, she's in the tent, although they didn't have anything to say to her, they seemed to just ask him where she was, and we'll see later why they asked that question. Now, one thing which is very interesting here is, of course, everyone running around, everyone making this food. Of course, in the end, they didn't even give them the bread, which itself is a pshat question, which Rashi talks about as well, which again we're not going to get into today because it's really parshanut in the parsha, but this 3 seah of bread that they made, is like hundreds of loaves of bread, they didn't even give them. Rashi had his answer, other people have their answer. What's that?
How long?
Pizza bread, not so long. I don't know, I'm not an expert pizza bread maker, but if you need the bread, it doesn't have to rise. They had the servants. They had ovens. They'd have it all. She didn't have to do it all by herself. I think Shai's. They got the family. They got the Avram and Sarah Inc. going. The company. They got the whole thing going. Now, the of course, there's the meat and milk question at the end, which I'm not really going to deal with because it's not really a question and it's nothing to do with Hachnachas Orchim. Your answer's on a postcard. If people still have postcards, you can send me an email with what you think about the meat and the milk. Now. From this particular passage, we get all the details of Hachnas Orchim, which we're going to bring out over the course of the next 50 minutes or so. But let me just point out a midrash in the Gemara in Bava Metzia first. That it's the merits of all of the things that Avram and Sarah were doing that we got very special infrastructure that we enjoyed later in the Midbar. V'chein tanu debei Rabbi Yishmael v'scha shloisha zachu l'shloisha. In the merits of 3 things, we got 3 things. V'scha chem'a v'chalav, because of the butter and the milk, okay, zachu l'man, we ended up with the man, which we got later in the Midbar. V'scha v'hu oymed aleihem, because Avram stood over them, like a waiter, Zachul Amud Ha'anon, we got God standing over us to look after our us. And Bishayu Kach Nama Atmaim, and because of the water that they took for the guests, Zachul Be'erushal Miriam. Which is a beautiful medrash. We often associate the Anan with Aaron, and the bear with Miriam, and the man with Moshe, and of course that's true. But all of them have their roots in Avram Avinu. And that's what it means, Maaseh Avos Simon Labanim. It doesn't just mean that they did stuff, we do stuff, and with similar things. It means that they laid down certain realities, certain spiritual world realities in the nature of cosmic forces, if you like, that we can draw on Sus Avos. And you see here, this episode of Hachnasas Orchim laid down their ability to connect with the Mishkan in the Midbar, and we'll get back to that in a few minutes. Now, this question, as to who Avram Avinu was talking to when he said, Vayomer Adonai, etc., is an interesting one. Look in the Gemara in Shavuos in number 5. So the Gemara says, Kol Shemus Ha'amurim B'Torah B'Avram Kodesh. It's dealing with the question of the shame. This shame, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, could either be Adoni, it's a Chol Shem Chol, my Lord, my Lords, or it could be Hashem's name. And it says all of the names of God which are written in, or the names which are written into the Avram story, says the Gemara Kodesh, Chutz Mizeh Shehu Chol, apart from this one which is Chol, Shneemar, as it says, Vayomer Adonai Nam Asat Chen Ve'Necha. According to this Shita in the Gemara, Avram is not talking to God, he's talking to the travelers. It's Chol, not Kodesh. Chanina ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eleazar ben Azariah, Mishum Rabbi Elazar Mordai, say the following. Av zeh kodesh. Even this one is kodesh. Kaman az lahad amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav. So we see another view, which is about this episode. Who does the following view go like? When he says, Gizoyla hachnas orchim yoyzim akbalach shina shechina, that hachnas orchim is even greater than the shechina. Kaman, who does that go like? Kois azuk. It goes like that pair that said that the name is indeed kodesh, meaning what? Meaning Avram is telling God, you wait, I've got work to do. I need to look after these guests, and therefore you will have to be on hold, please, and I'll come back to you when I'm free. That's what it means, G'dayla hachnasas orchem mihachbalas pnei ha-shechina. The Rambam paskens that in number 6, in his Hilchus Yisodei HaTorah, he says, Kol shem et amurim ba'avram kodesh, af zeh shenema Hashem imnam al-sasichem ve'enecho, etc. But there was, he paskens that as well, Harry Hu Kodesh, that's also Kodesh. He paskens about the second view in the Gemara, which is that indeed Avram is speaking to God, which raises, of course, the interesting question, which is, how can he do such a thing? Eze chutzpah? You turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, excuse me, that I'm enjoying this Nevuah very much, but I have other things to do now, I'll put you on hold, we can always continue this later, surely. You know, it's nothing that can't wait. So let's have a look. Number 7. So the Gemara raises this point. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, G'dayla hachnasas orachim mihakbalas p'nei ha-shechina. You see how great, even greater, hachnasas orachim is even greater than greeting the Shechina, d'chsev, as it says, v'yomeh Hashem, now he's talking to God. Rashi says, he left God, and he went to deal with the guests. Rabbi Loza says the following, come and see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't work in the world like a normal ruler would. You can't turn around to the president, whoever, the queen, and say, you wait here, I'll get back to you when I can. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Hashem, it says, Hashem imnam al-sasichem be'enecha. The question is, how did Avraham Avinu know this was the right thing to do? No one had taught him. We know now, because of what he did. But how did he know? And everything Avraham Avinu knew, he worked out from his own seichel. That's the whole point of Avraham Avinu. He wasn't told Torah. He knew Torah because he connected with it on a sichli level. Look at all the Mephoshim talking about Avraham Avinu. That was his Mila. I was Mekabel from Rav Berkovitz, one of my Rashi Yeshiva, that what he was basically saying was as follows. The reason he worked it out is as follows. Connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having Nevuah, is beautiful, but it's very difficult, very intangible. How do you have a relationship with a being which is all transcendent and invisible and intangible and you can't touch it? How can you do that? It's so, you feel like you're speaking. Is anybody listening? You don't know. It's just so unclear. Says Avraham Avinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want me to connect with you through Nevuah, which is presumably why you're appearing to me. I can connect with you much better by connecting with the Tzelem Elokim in human beings, because then they each have a Tzelem Elokim. Then I can really deal with them. They're a real person. I can give them food. I can make them smile. I can make them happy. I can interact. I can have a relationship with them. This is much better Hakbalas Pnei Hashchina than having a Nevuah. What is Kabbalat Panim? At Kabbalat Panim, you have at a wedding, you offer people food. Okay? The wedding. How do you do a Kabbalat Pnei Hashchina? How do you receive God? You can only receive God by connecting with God. That's the only thing you can give to God. What can God take from you? God doesn't need anything. And therefore, the only thing Avraham Avinu is saying to God is, look, I can connect with you by connecting with people. And this is the root of the mitzvah. This is why Chazal and the Mephoshim stress this, perhaps above all other mitzvahs. Look for a second in number 9. The Meiri says, She'ein lecha mitzvah gedoyle mizo. And I know rabbis always say every mitzvah is the most important mitzvah. Okay? But this is something to say. Ein lecha mitzvah gedoyle mizo. There is no greater mitzvah than hachnasas orchim. That's quite a statement. And I think the reason is this idea that you connect with people and thereby you really connect with God. It's the way that you do the mitzvah of Avas Hashem in many ways. But it seems that hachnasas orchim more so. If I go to a shiva house and I console people, so I came and I went and they feel like I'm with them at some level. If I go to visit someone who's sick in hospital, but if I give people cholents, that seems to be giving people food. Literally, giving people food seems to be a bond. Seems to be a bond. She'ein kamo. There is nothing like giving people food. And this is not just some kind of sociological Jewish thing. This is a deep human connection, which is even better than other forms of chesed. Because when I give you food, and not just food, we'll see, hachnasas orchim is not just about giving people chonet. It's about creating an atmosphere where people feel that they bond with each other. That's the key here. Have a look for a second at number 10. The Gemara stresses hachnasas orchim as being a player in the development of Jewish history more than almost anything. Gedolei legima, look how great a little bit of food, a taste of food is. Schnapps, yeah, legima. A little bit of something. It doesn't even have to be, as my grandmother would say, gebrochene hen. Okay? It can just be. Shehirchika shtei mishpachas Mishrael. Hachnasas orchim pushed away two families from Israel. Shene'emar al-dvar she'asher lo'i kidmo etchem b'lechem u'b'mayim. They didn't come, Moav and Amon, they didn't come with bread and wine, with bread and water. Rabbi Yochanan, didei amar, and he says like this, the following. How great is Hachnasas orchim? Marcheket es akrovim. It pushes away the close. Mekarevet es arachaykim, and it brings close those who are far. Umalemet einayim min arashayim. It blinds eyes from the rashayim. Mashra shchina al nevi habal. It brings the shchina down on the false neviim. Ushkagasa oilez adam, and its accidental breach is like a purposeful breach. What this kind of slightly coded line. So it's like this. The Gemara explains it. Berachekes is a krovim. Hachnas orchim push away those who were close. Amon and Moav. We saw they didn't do hachnas orchim. Now you cannot marry an Ammoni and a Moavi. Why? Because of hachnas orchim. If they just had the decency to bring us a cup of water, then they'd be able to marry into the Jewish people. The karevet is a rechaykim. He brings close those who are far. Yisrael. Think of the story of Yisrael. The Amar of Yochanan Beschar, in the merit of what Yisrael says, Karon Loi V'Yochel Lechem. Yisrael says, what? You left a guy outside standing by the well? What's wrong with you girls? Bring him in. Bring him in for a spit of bread. Look, he found a wife, he found a shidduch, he found everything. The Shabbos table is the best place to find shidduchim, right? Best place to make shidduchim. Zachu b'nei bana v'yashu b'nishkas ha-gazes. His great-great-grandchildren, he merited that his descendants sat on the Sanhedrin. Yisrael, just because he offered a little bit of a schnapps to Moshe Rabbeinu, he wasn't even Moshe Rabbeinu, he was just an Ish Mitzri, in the merits of that, he ended up with this amazing family. The story of Micha, remember the story of Micha, the end of Sefer Shoftim there, there's the Mishkan in Shiloh, sitting on one hill, and on the next hill, there's the Mishkan, there's the Pesel Micha, there's the whole Avodah Zorah, which was so close that the smoke mingled from one to the other. This terrible, terrible thing that was happening in the Jewish people. And yet, says the Gemara in the Merid, at least Micha did Hachnasas Orchim, that was his big schus. He brought wayfarers in, he was hospitable. That allowed, if you like, God's anger to be blinded from him. And he didn't get destroyed, he lasted for a long time. Umash Shkina on the Bi'a Abant is a beautiful story. The whole story with Ido Hanavi, remember that? Remember the story, Ido was told by God not to go back, went on his way back from Yeravam there, so he does go back, and he's invited him by a false prophet, says, God wants you to sit and have dinner with me, and they were sitting at the table doing Hachnasas Orchim, and this false prophet suddenly gets a real nevuah, and in the merit of what? That he gave somebody a meal. Ushkagatha oilazadon, and an accidental breach of Hachnasas Orchim can be counted as a purposeful breach. Tamar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ravi, Mali, Havau Yonasan the David, Shtei Kikras Lechem. If Yonasan had only given David Amelech a little bit of bread, sandwiches, give him a little bit of sandwich for the journey. Lo nergu Noiv irakainim. Noiv would not have been destroyed because of the whole story that David had no food. He had to go to Noiv. He had to beg for food. Okay? But lo nitra doig hai. Doig mean the whole story with doig would never have become a terrible scourge of the Jewish people. But lo nerg Shaul v'shalash banov. Shaul and his three sons who were killed because of what happened at Noiv. None of that would have happened if only David would have been given a little bit of a sandwich for the journey. It's an amazing thought. And even though Yonasan didn't do it on purpose, because what was he just doing? He forgot to give him a sandwich. Look what happened because of that. He himself died because of it. The Gemara is expressing something extremely deep rooted in the Jewish psyche and in the history of the Jewish people with Hachnasas Orchim. It plays a part in, if you like, winding Jewish history all the way through. Even more than that, we regard Hachnasas Orchim almost like an avodah. We see our table, our dining room table, like the Mishkan, like the Mizbeach itself. We have many minhagim on that basis. Look at number 11. Dichsif, The pasuk in Yechezkel, Amizbeach 8, the Mizbeach was made of wood. Shlosha Amos, Kvaya, it was three. There's a vision of a third temple that Yechezkel was getting. It was three Amos high, Baruch Hoshtaim Amos, and it was two Amos long. It's Oisa, Vloi, Baruch, Kiros, 8, and it had walls made of wood, etc. He's describing the Mizbeach, the altar in the third temple. Vaidabe Eli, and God said to me, he said to me, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Livnei Hashem. This is the table which will be before God. So the Gemara asks, I thought we were talking about the Mizbeach. We started with the Mizbeach, the scene of the Shulchan, and now all of a sudden we've merged into the Shulchan. The Mizbeach and the Shulchan are two completely different things in the temple. Why did we start talking about the Shulchan? Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish Dam and Travai, both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree, and they say the following. Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, when the temple was there, Mizbeach Mechape Al Adam. The Mizbeach, the Korbanos, were a route towards connection, crave a closeness to our Kodesh Baruch. Achshav, now that we have no temple, Shulchano shel Adam mechapeh alav. The Mizbeach turned into the Shulchan. Rashi, achnasorach. Which actually is a very deep religious experience. It's the idea of Hakbalas Pnei Hashchina again. What we used to achieve in the Bet Mikdash by bringing korbanot, by this intense connection with God, now we achieve through giving our guests chalons. And it's real. We regard this as a kapara for the Jewish people. We turn the Mizbeach into our dining room table, and many minhagim are based on this. Think about this. There's a minhag that we take away the knives before we bench during the week. That's based on the concept that the knives were not allowed to touch the Mizbeach. If a knife touched the Mizbeach, if metal touched the Mizbeach was invalidated. Our table is like a Mizbeach. We have minhagim where we dip the bread in the salt, okay? We dip in the salt just like the Kohen, when he was going up the ramp, up the Mizbeach. There was a... I've got a pen here. No, for the ball. No, I don't need one. I can manage without one. Oh yes, you always carry one around just in case. Believe me, when you see what my drawing powers, you will be. You wish you had it. Okay. If the Mizbeach is there, and you have this sort of little Cohen chappy here with a little house hole everywhere else. So there was a pile of salt on the Mizbeach, on the ramp actually, on the Kevesh, which they had to dip into the salt. We relive this whole experience when we dip our challah. The Kohen had to wash his hands before he did the avodah. We wash our hands for many reasons, but one of them is like the Kohanim entrance to the avodah. And another interesting minhag, when the Kohen got to the top, there's a little gap here, the Kohen stood at the top, there was a mitzvah, there were the piles of wood here, there was a mitzvah with the meat of zrikat habasar, of throwing the meat onto. They didn't put the meat down, they threw the meat like this. This says the Ksav Sofer is the minhag of throwing the challah at the table, not throwing it obviously in a way which is like a food fight, but throwing it a little bit, not just giving it to people. The whole thing is a reenactment of the Kohanim at the top of the ramp on the Mizbeach, and it's a very beautiful idea. Our Shabbos tables and our weekday tables as well is this replacement of the Mizbeach. Indeed, with the Tamid Chacham, the Gemara even says in number 12, this idea, Am Rabbi Yosef B'chanina Mishum Rabbi Lozer, Re'lozer Ben Yaakov, Kol Am Areach Tamid Chacham B'toch Beisa. If you have a Tamid Chacham in your house, okay, Manaum in the Chasav, and you allow him to benefit from your things, Ma'al Elav HaKosav Ki'ilu Makriv Tamidim. Again, it's like bringing Korbanot. It's this idea that Haknasas Orchim is a closeness, is a connection through me connecting with people. The Telem Elokim will connect all of us to God. Yes.
What qualifies as a Mareach?
It's coming up in 2 minutes. Okay, good. Just one before we get to that question. Before we get to that question, so I don't forget to do it, I just brought you in 13 or 14 the Rambam on the Mishnah in Peah, the very famous Mishnah. These are things that have no shear, including Gimlus Chasadim. And by the way, I skipped it, but actually I brought you in number 8, there is a parallel text just at the top of that page which says that Shisha Dvarim Adam Oichel Perasei Meloim Azeh V'Karva Keren Karez Lo Liyam Haba, which is not the one we say in the davening. This is a parallel text for Elohim, which are the things, and the first on the list is Hachnasas Orchim. The first on this list is Hachnasas Orchim, then comes Bekochelim, etc., etc. So this idea of some things having no shiur, having this world and the next world, the Rambam clarifies in number 14 that a very important thing. There are two kinds of chesed, he says. One is chesed you do with your money, you give money and you help people out. The second you do with your body, there's no point doing nichum aveilim with money. You're going to send someone a check, here's $50, thinking of you in this difficult time. It's irrelevant. The money is not necessary. You have to be there. Okay, ulalavos es amesim, and similarly with a hesper, with a levaya, ulaval echupas chasanim, v'joymen azeh. Umashe amav ekangimus chasanim ein shiur, when it says there's no limit, rotsalam elaz adam begufo, that means things you do with your body. Ach, she'az arisam b'mamoyna, yesh la shiur. With money, of course, there's always a shiur. But hu chamish is mamoyna, this is a fifth of one's money. One's never required to spend more than a fifth of one's money on any positive mitzvah, including chesed mitzvahs, and I just wanted to bring that in, that he brings that here on the mitzvah. Now, your question before is, who is the guest? This fantastic mitzvah of Hanas Orchim. So I want to deal now with three things for the rest of the class, Be'ezrat Hashem, who is the guest, which won't take us very long, the halachas of the host, and the halachas of the guest. Now, let's have a look. Number 15. There's an interesting halacha in Shabbos, which seems to have nothing to do with this. You're not allowed to schlep on Shabbos. Even if there's no technical malacha involved, you're not doing any kind of borer or this or that, but you're just schlepping heavy things. You're not allowed to schlep because of tircha. Your Shabbos is meant to be a day of rest. You're meant to be relaxed. Using Shabbos afternoon as the time to reorganize your garage or your machzan or something like that, even if technically you're not breaking Shabbos, you are. That's not correct. Number 15. If you have a storehouse of grain or of wine barrels, you're allowed to take food from them on Shabbos for guests and things. Why might you have thought not? Because you might have thought they're mukse. It's for the shop, it's for sale, it's not for the house. No, food is always available, it's not mukse. However, you're not allowed to start schlepping them around. Unless it's for a mitzvah. Oh, you have a heter to schlep on Shabbos for a mitzvah. Kugain, such as says the Shulchan Aruch, Shibinol Hachnas Orchim. You suddenly realize that someone says that you're making Sheva Brochas, and now you have to schlep that, make a whole hole there. Or Likvor Bobes HaMedrash, or you're having a learning program in your house, and then you have to schlep. So now I have a special heter in Hilchos Shabbos to schlep for Hachnas Orchim. So now I need to know what's Hachnas Orchim, otherwise I don't have the heter. So it comes in the Ramah, says, Veloy Mikra Orchim, who's called a guest? And he gives an interesting example.
Someone who's staying over with you for Shabbos in your home. And there was someone from out of town who's staying with you who has nowhere else to go.
Or you invite guests that
other people are putting up for Shabbos. So if you just invite your friends to eat with you,
that's not called Hachnasas Orchim. And as soon as mitzvah, that's not called a mitzvah.
Rak soon as reshus, it's called a reshus. It's not an aveira. It's nice. You can have socializing. That's a nice, positive thing to do. But he says, don't think that that's a mitzvah of hachnas orchim. You can't rely on this hetzer in Hilchos Shabbos because your friends are around for dinner. Now, what does he mean?
What he means here is as follows. Guests have to be people who are needy.
Now, examples of needy are people who have nowhere else to stay, people who have nowhere else to eat. Just having your friends around for pizza or something like that, that's not called Hachnas Zorah because they're not needy. What if they are needy? What if your guests, what if your friends need a meal because they're upset, they're alone, they need company, or let's say they need a break because they're always inviting their own guests and you want to give them a week off, or their husband's just come back from traveling somewhere, or she's just... There's no rule here. Remember, it's not chukim. It's not technical rules, this. It's mishpatim. There's no rule that your friend cannot be a guest. What the Ramah is saying is, if it's just them socializing, it's not hachnasas orchim.
But of course, people who are needy on any level, emotionally, psychologically, socially, that is hachnasas orchim. I was once coming out of shul when I was a young married man, and a little old fellow came up to me and said to me, you know what hachnasas orchim is? I said, what, is it like inviting guests? He goes, no. He said to me, he was a funny little fellow. He said to me,
it means inviting all the smellies.
I said, what do you mean? He said, it's not for you to invite the people that you want to have round. He said, you need to invite the people that you need to come round. It's not for you, it's for them.
Anyway, he was giving me a whole lecture on Hachnasas Orchim, so I got very excited about this, and the next Shabbos, or a few Shabbos later, I decided new thing. So the end of shul, I went to the back of the shul and I, you know, was looking around and seeing. This is not something I normally do on Friday night. And I saw this fellow kind of wandering a little bit, looking, you know, in his mid-30s, and he was on his own. I said, you know, do you have somewhere to eat for Shabbos? He goes, no, actually, no, I don't. So I said, oh, wow, my marvelous, come here. You know, you look like one of the smellies. So I brought him home, and I said to my wife, you know, very proudly, I said, look, you know, we brought, he was a South American fellow. His name was like Jose or something like that, or Javier or something like that. Anyway, so I brought him and said, we're having this gentleman for dinner. I hope it's okay. My wife did the Sarah Imenu thing. Yes, no problem, you know. Our home is your home. Anyway, we had him in. In the middle of the meal, this fellow turned around. We had other guests as well planned. In the middle of the meal, this turned around. He said to us, he says, let me tell you why I am religious today. Let me tell you my story. So very interesting, you know. And he tells us this whole story that he was lying in bed one day and he was looking up in the window, and there standing in the window was Yoshka that told him, like he said, with his arms stretched out with a halo around his head, looking down on him, telling him he should be religious. So I remember my son, he was about 4 or 5, with a soup, he was like this. He had the soup suspended between his mouth. So I'm looking at my wife and she's looking at me. I'm going, it's very interesting, yes, very interesting. Anyway, shall we sing a Zemmer, you know? So you never know what you're going to get. You never know what you're going to get. And that's what makes it interesting. And I sometimes think if my dinner plates could speak, could tell stories, they've heard things at my dinner plates that they could entertain people for hours.
That's a very good title for a book.
If my dinner plates could speak. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Another book that I'll never write. Okay. What's that? That's a great question. I have no idea. I think so. I think. I don't know. Anyway, we... anyway. Shh. Anyway, let's go on. The... So having people who are scam friends, who are not particularly needy, okay, that's not the mitzvah, but people who are needy, it is. The Chofetz Chaim in number 17 has a very nice thought in Ahavas Chesed. He says, "Da," he says, "you should know. The mitzvah achnasas orchim noig af ashirim. You can have wealthy people around. That's also achnasas orchim. Just because they're wealthy doesn't mean they're not needy. Very important point. For Moshe Kosov b'sefer yesh noichlim b'shem ha'maril. He brings a ma'aril, ancient source from the Middle Ages. The Ashen Shrichin the Tavasa, even though they might not need your food, I feel a Hachi Hakabolish and Makabolish on the part of Yafa is greeting them with a smile, being kind to them and nice to them, whom Ishtadl the Shamsham the Chavdam, just giving them honor, giving them respect, the Thikvoidam, he mitzvah, that is also part of the mitzvah. It's giving people a sense of being wanted and needed, etc. But Kol Shikain, all the more so, Im Ha'orchim Heimanim. If the people are actually poor as well, a mitzvah kafula, then you're doing a double mitzvah. Shemekayim gam bezer mitzvah stoka. And it's a beautiful way to do stoka, because you're not giving anyone a handout. You're making them feel like $1 million at the same time as giving them food. And he just adds at the end, Ubanabunaseinu harabim, for our many sins now for who? It often is the other way around. The kashibarehu asher, when a rich person comes to your house, people are very nice, people always smiling and nice to rich people. Ubesimcha v'leiv toiv. Ukashibaitla ish alu v'necha ruach, and when a nebach comes around, people are not so excited about schnorrers coming to eat at my dinner table, okay? And he said, this is a terrible thing. He says, people should realize that when there are, as this fellow said, the smellies coming to eat, he says, that is not just a mitzvah, it's a double mitzvah. People are needy on different levels, whether it's in terms of financial or social, spiritual need. Kirov, you know, having seminary students and yeshiva guys who are looking for somewhere to go for Shabbos. This is all very important, and the fact that they may be poor or rich is not really relevant, except to say that the poor, you get an extra mitzvah of tzedakah in a way which is beautifully done. Now, let us move on now to the dinim of the ma'areach and the dinim of the oreach. I've listed a few things here. There are obviously more things than I can deal with in just a short time. I put at the beginning here, aleph mitzvah bo yotzei mibishluchai. This is a general principle in halacha. It is always better to do a mitzvah oneself rather than it to other people, and that's obviously part of the
Hachnasas Orchim as well. I think the way that you're mechanech children to do Hachnasas Orchim is not by telling them to look after the guests, but by looking after the guests, and they can see what's going on and they can watch it.
Wife. I can't even speak for my own wife, but I know that with the two of us, we try to do it as a partnership. I do some things, she does other things. She cooks, I wash, and you know, this I clean, and you know, if I, I'm not trying to look like. Believe me, if I did the cooking and she did the washing up, you wouldn't want to come for Shabbos.
But it's better off that way round. I brought you, and we see with Avraham Avinu. He didn't say, you know, I have servants to be the waiter. He had plenty of money at this stage. He says, no, I will be the waiter. I will stand over you. I'm the one running around.
And Sarah's
also doing stuff. She's also busy doing things. Now, say the Panim Yafos is a critical thing. I brought this before. We saw also that someone mentioned doing it with a smile. The Avos Rebbe Nosson, which I think I brought you before, the Havim Kabbalist Kola Adam Save Panim Yafos. Smiling at people, greeting people with a smile is so important.
If you give someone all the good chesed in the world, we'll kind of push him out, but your face is miserable. Like, you gave them nothing. Ah, the chicken tastes nice. No, your face is unfortunately ruining the chicken. Aval hamakabel es chaveru v'save upon the office. But if you greet people with a smile, I feel a lot of like klum, even if you gave them nothing, it's a very beautiful figure, it's not what you give people, it's the atmosphere you create. That's critical here, and we'll see many halachas coming up that it's not about how beautiful the food is. Of course, the food has to be as nice as it can be. It's about the atmosphere you create. And smiling and being relaxed and not being stressed, even though it's sometimes hard, it can be very stressful. You know, the kids are going crazy. One of the toddlers is screaming, and one of the teenagers is having a meltdown, you know, and a sulk at the table. It can be very difficult, and I can remember certain moments when I found it very challenging to remain unstressed. Maybe haven't even succeeded, but we see here this is very critical. Look in number 19, Shulchan Aruch, Paskens as follows. Ein mistaklim bifnei ha'oichel. The host is not meant to stare at the food that the person is eating. And the person who is eating or the food he's eating. Shalom levayisha. This is a critical thing. Not to embarrass your guests. Guests have to feel at home. They have to feel comfortable. And this is above all halachas, the one that I wanted to bring first. Because this idea of inviting people to your home and then making them feel awkward is completely shoots the whole halacha out of the water. It's inappropriate. I know situations, girls have told me that they go to people's houses and the balabais won't look at women. So I have no criticism of his hanhagas in Chassidus, absolutely not. It's a beautiful thing if people want to be machmir on themselves, whatever. It's not required halachically, but whatever. But for goodness sake, don't invite girls to your house. How can you invite people to your house and not look at them? But he's not getting the mitzvah. But he's not, because how can you invite someone to your house and make them feel awkward? What mitzvah is that? So he should invite guys to the house. More than once I've had this situation where people have said that they've gone to places and they felt awkward. This is Aloch and Shulchan Aruch. The Lo Yehei Adam, continuing 19, Lo Yehei Adam Kaptan, a person shouldn't be too makpid, Peirush Kasan, Ragzan. It says you can't get stressed. You're not allowed to get stressed as a host. The sooner. You have to generate an atmosphere of relaxed comfort, etc. That is halacha number one. In number 20, it talks about who is going to make hamotzi. So it's an interesting thing. Imam Asubim Rabim, if you have many people eating together, Gadol Shebekulam Boitzeya. The greatest of them, the most choshev there, should make hamotzi. Now, Hine, one second. Imhem Shavim, if everybody's equal, the echad mehem kohen, and one of them is a kohen. Mitzalak dima, you give it to the kohen. Ve'im ha'kohen ha'ma'aretz, if the kohen is an ha'ma'aretz, tamid chochem kohen lo. In other words, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. However, he adds, ve'im yeshim ahem balabayis. But if anybody there is the balabayis, who by say a he, or maybe even she, must make a motzi, ba'afilu im ha'arech gadol. Can be a balat ha'bayis. The balabayis or the balat ha'bayis should make a motzi, even if the arech is a gadol. Now, Of course, for the balabai to make a motzi, okay, that's standard. Why? He knows how much bread to give out. You never know. If the guest makes a motzi and gives out the bread, maybe they're giving out too much and it's meant to be for tomorrow. Maybe they're giving out too little. It looks stingy. This issue of the balabai making a motzi has become like a bit of a feminist issue. I'm not here to comment on feminist issues. That's not my topic. But except to say that halachically, for we're leaving aside the connotations maybe that it might have, halachically, there's nothing to talk about. There's no reason why the balatabai should make a motzi or the balabai should make a motzi. One might consider that it's a bit like making a statement of some kind, and often with people it is, and one has to think whether one wants to make statements of, based in one's Shabbos table. But leaving aside like the sociological angle, there is no reason why the balatabai or the balatabai shouldn't make a motzi. I've been to places where there is only a balatabai. Because maybe they're divorced or the husband's died and she's not comfortable to make a motzi, she asked one of the guests to make a motzi. Okay, fine, say that. No one should feel uncomfortable and do things which they don't want to do. But in theory, if the Baal HaTzibayit is comfortable with it, there's no reason not to do it. I myself, this happened a few months ago. I was at a Shabbos lunch. I went to California to run a wedding. And a number of my students from one of the midrashot that I teach at hosted a meal for me on Shabbat lunch. It was very nice. See a lot of alumni tell me Dov that I hadn't seen for a while. And there were like 20 women and me. And my wife, trust me, it's fine. But there were 20 women and me. And, you know, we were thinking, who should make hamotzi? For me, I should make hamotzi. And this girl's cooked with her friends the whole meal. And you should make a motzi, you're the Baal HaTzibayit, I should make a motzi. You know, it's ridiculous. So she made her motzi. I said, no one's making a statement there. It was appropriate, she should be the one to give the bread around, and that's what we did. Now, the Mishnah Berurah adds, if everyone has their own challahs, okay, so then there's a minhagim, chassidish minhagim, everyone makes their own motzi. Okay, that's also fine, because then everyone's making their own motzi, but if someone's doing it for everyone else, that should be the Baal HaBayit. Now, moving on, I put here Dalat Chesed Bishvilam Alo Bishvilcha. At the end of the day, you're doing it for them. You're not doing it for you. There are certain implications to that idea that you're focusing on the needs of the guests rather than the needs of the host. Chinuch Banim, we saw with Yishmael. Avram specifically got Yishmael in on the Chinuch Banim, on the Hachnas Sochim rather. Mehirut, this idea of energy, and this I think is very important. The fact that Avram Avinu ran and Sarah ran and Yishmael ran. Not in a stressed way, but means that there's a kind of energy to the dinner. And I think this is part of the halacha as well. A Shabbos meal or a weekday meal, it shouldn't feel like sort of lacking in koyach. Sometimes things kind of just grind to a halt, and there's no one talking, and there's like this. It also makes an awkward atmosphere. I think what's going on with Avram is generating a sense of energy in the meal that is exciting, and there's stuff going on. I often tell, my guests that when I'm talking about this idea with people, running a meal, I'm sure you're all aware, is like theatre. You know, you have to plan it. There has to be conversations, and the more set piece the meal is, the more theatre it is. Seder night is pure theatre. It even feels like theatre a little bit sometimes. You have to have a plan, who's giving you the Bar Torah, and who's doing this, and who's doing that, and you're doing this. And it has to have a certain choreography to it. It has to have a certain structure to it, otherwise it all lapses into... people have a habit of being quiet at meals. I get to when I talk about the Chiyum of the Oreach. I always find this is weird with my students. My students never stop talking from the beginning of the week to the end of the week. I can't stop them from talking. And yet they sit at my Shabbat table and no one's got anything to say. Was that intimidating? Am I intimidating, Mrs. Schiff? Do I look intimidating? Maybe a little bit. But I hope that they're not too intimidating. Okay. Now, Achila Vashtia, a Gemara which is very interesting, in 22, it says, Ki toiv loy imach, rather, it should be good for him with you. Imach b'machal, imach b'mishteh, your guest should be with you in food and drink. What does that mean? You shouldn't be eating the high quality bread. But who are you? You give him the low quality bread. After quality wine. And they're drinking the less lower quality, like lower quality wine. I do have this experience. I offer my guests sometimes they're rather nice. You know, Shemitah Sangiovese from the Golan Winery, and they say, do you have any Barat Hanura? So, okay, fine, whatever. You know, I'm not here to judge your taste in wine, maybe to educate a little bit. So, fine, that's whatever.
After Yashan al Gabi Muchin, you sleep on a nice soft pillow. For who Yashan al Gabi Ateven, and they're sleeping in the refet. That can't be the case. Mikan Amru Kala Kaine Eved Ivri Kaine Adoy Lasmai.
When you have even an Eved Ivri Jewish servant in your house, you have to treat them like they're the Adon and you're the Eved.
It's a big responsibility bringing people into your home. The Rambam, I'm not going to read through the whole Rambam, we're in a little bit short of time. In number 23, he learns from Cain and Hevel in Halacha in Isurim Mizbeach that whatever you bring should be the best you can bring, rather than grudgingly presented like we see with Cain. In all mitzvahs, and indeed in Mitzvah Achnas Orchim too, that doesn't mean one has to bankrupt oneself to provide food for people, but whatever one does, it has to be the best one can. And I like number 24, I'd like to read this with you. This idea of creating informality is part of the halacha. Number 24. But Yom HaShmini, the eighth day, talking about Shmini Atzeres. So we see a fascinating idea. Marali Yois Toiches Kol Yom.
Why do the korbanos go down every day? On the first day of Sukkot, there are hundreds of korbanos. Down and down and down and down. So by the last day of Sukkot, one little korban, two or three little korbanos for the Hashem and the Jewish people. It says like this.
The Torah is teaching you derech eretz from the korbanos. You go to someone who hosts you, a kiblu chavero,
and they receive you.
Yom rishon mekablo yafe.
The first day you get the red carpet
treatment.
Umachilo oifes, they give you birds. Here I think birds doesn't mean a chicken. I think it means like goose or like swan, pheasants,
whatever. Exactly, slav v'dag. Exactly, slav. Base on the second day. Machilo basa, go down a level, you get a piece of beef. Veshlishi machilo dagim, then you can get a bit of fish on the third day. Berevi machilo yerek, the fourth day already you're getting salad. Kan kach poches v'hoylech, adshe machilo kidneys,
by the end you're giving him a kidneys is the lowest of the low. Big beans. What is the Gemara saying here? Something very critical. Saying like this. If you receive someone with a red carpet treatment on the first day, that's beautiful. If by day eight, them staying with you, you're still giving them the red carpet treatment, that's now actually turned from nice to insulting. It feels awkward. Every day is like a banquet. By the eighth day, or whenever it is, you say to them, look, you know, here's the fleshy side, here's the milky side, here are the pots and pans, make yourself a scrambled egg, help yourself. That's part of feeling at home. That's what the Gemara is saying here. The whole point is to make your guests feel at home. And at a certain point, informality is required to make your guests feel at home. There's a place for formality and there's a place for informality. Being stiff is against the halacha. You have to be relaxed. This is very important for the host to create this atmosphere of when the time comes to make the host feel that this is part of their part home too.
Yeah, totally. All mitzvahs ben al chaveru are cultural. The halachas are there to give us the sensitivities, the ideas. As I said before, they're mishpatim, they're not chukim, they're not just rules like kashrut and Shabbat. And they have to be translated into the cultural norms that we have, but they're nevertheless there, and we have to create the atmosphere that we can. The mitzvah of livui is very interesting. The mitzvah of taking out your guests, we learn, as one of the ladies here said, from Egla Ruth. Look at the beginning of 25. Kol zikni ha'ir ha'i, ha'kroi b'mel ha'chalal. Okay, yirchatsu et yadehim, they have to wash their hands. Ala egla rufa,
when there's a dead body found, murdered, and nobody knows how who murdered and how the person died. But nachal, they have the people from the nearest town have to come out, the Sanhedrin, the leaders, the gedolim from the town, and they have to go this whole ceremony with an egla rufa. But Omri, they have to say,
yadeinu lo shafchu es adam hazeh. Ah, we didn't spill this blood, but einenu lo ra'u, and we didn't see, we weren't responsible. So the Gemara says, a very famous Gemara in Sota, do we really think that the Beis Din are saying that they didn't murder the person? Of course they didn't murder the person.
It's saying, did we send this person out without a proper food? Did he come to our town and leave without being taken care of?
And we didn't see.
We left him without Levaya. He didn't know where he was going. He wandered off the derech. He wandered off the path. He wandered into a dangerous part of town. And look what happened to him. This is the analysis that the Sanhedrin have to go through. Did we treat this person properly when he came to us?
And then he brings an interesting comparison from when the B'nai Yehuda in Sefer Shoftim were capturing the town of Luz. So they asked a guy there, one of the Knanim who lives in the town, where is the entrance to the town? He points to the entrance, and that's how they get into the town. And in the source of that, they save him, they save his family. He goes on to build another city. What was the source of that man, says the Gemara? He didn't even tell them which way to go. He just pointed. Nevertheless, he showed them the derech. And all the more so, someone who actually shows someone the derech. And the Gemara learns out from this that showing people where to go when they leave you is critical. Look at Rambam in 26. Kaifim lelevaya. We force people to do levaya. Kashem, kaderech, excuse me, shakaifim letztaka. Like we, staka is in the old days, they used to have people like tax assessors. They used to go to people's houses and say, are you giving enough staka? Let's have a look how much property you have. You should be giving this much, this much, this much. It wasn't just a personal thing. Similarly, we make sure we have people appointed by the Bet Din to make sure that people escort their guests. We're based in Hayom Atakin and Shluchim. The Beis Din would appoint messengers. The Lavois Adam Ha'Avim Mimachal Mimachal. To make sure the people were walking the right way. We saw earlier, if you don't help your guests to find the route that they need, it's as if you murdered them. And even just Arba Amos, Yeshbo Schar Harbi. There's a lot of Schar, but that's a covered. Now, today, the reason for this mitzvah has largely gone away, because the reason for this mitzvah was there were no streetlights, there were no police forces, there was no safety. If your guests didn't know the lay of the land and they wandered off, they could easily fall down a pit, get eaten by an animal, get jumped on by highwaymen, whatever. You would be able to show them which way to go. Today, largely, this problem has gone away. We have safe streets, Baruch Hashem. So the mitzvah of, even then, depends on who they are. You know, if you live in the middle of a yeshuv somewhere in the Shomron, you need to make sure your guests know which is left, which is right when they come out. Otherwise, they'll end up in the middle of who knows where, and it won't be safe at all. But most of the time now, this mitzvah is really one of kavod. The Rambam says even Arba Amos is a kavod. This Arba Amos, it has to feel like a kavod. I heard of a guy once who drew a line outside his front door. Arba Amos. And he would walk up, again, the mistake this person made, you can understand why someone would think this way. That they're treating it like a chok, it's like a hilch of kashrus. It's meant to feel normal, it's meant to feel natural, that you show your guests out to the point that they feel, oh, isn't that nice, they showed us out. Maybe that's to the elevator, if it's not Shabbos, maybe that's outside. You know, whatever it is, I tend to try and walk my guests down the steps, get a bit of fresh air,
well,
take them outside.
Sure,
right, make sure he hasn't got the candlesticks with him. Fine. And the Rambam even brings the Shiurim in those days. Look at this Shiurim. Remarkable Shiurim. It says like this, at the middle of the second line of 26. Bakama Shiur Labaya. How much do you have to walk people out in the old days when it was really critical? Shechayav Adamba. Harav Le Talmid, the Rav who is hosting the Talmud. Ad Iburushal Ir, up to the edge of the town. Okay? Ha'ish lechavero, each person who is on the same level, the Rav obviously is on a higher level than the Talmud, if you're on the same level, ad Chum Shabbos, until beyond the town, already to the Chum Shabbos. The Talmud le Rav ad Parsa, the Parsa is even Arba Mil, is 4 mil, okay, beyond the town. The Im, higher Rabba Muvan, if it's your main rabbi, ad Shalosh Parsa. Even like, we're talking about 7-8 miles. You have to walk people to make sure that they knew where they were going. The covert even extends that far. Today, I think it's largely symbolic, but important. If, of course, a guest doesn't know which bus to take, you know, we have this in Haranoth. You say, oh, just take the bus out of Haranoth. And, of course, they get on the wrong side of the road. They go 3 stops, and the bus is the end. There's pay for a bus ride, and they got nowhere. You know, they just went around Haranoth like this. So you have to tell people it's the other side of the road, etc., etc. Now, in the last 7 minutes of the Shia, just let me mention some of the dinim on the guest, because the guest also has halachas. We have 12:05?
Yes.
Oh, really? The Shia goes to 12:05?
Yes.
How about that? Okay, so I've got even more time than I thought, so I have maybe even 10 minutes. So let's have a look at some of these last few halachas. What are the obligations of the guest? Here's where it gets very interesting, because we see the malachim. And they visited Avram, said, number 27, Yomre Elav, Aye Sara Ishtecha. Where is Sara, your wife?
And he said, he never, she's in the tent. Why were they asking where she was?
Famous Rashi, number 28. Sara Imenu, Heichin Haisa.
They knew full well where she was.
El Elohidea Shetnua Haisa.
They wanted him to know that she was special, she was Sanua, Kedei lechavava el bala, so that he would love her even more. And Chazal actually say on Ayei Sara Ishtercha, there are dots over Ayei, so it reads Ayei and Ayo, meaning she asked him, they asked him where she was, they asked her where he was, etc. Meaning what? This halacha is very critical, that the first obligation of the guest, according to halacha, is to bring shalom bayis to the hosts. Meaning, a guest intrudes on somebody else's shalom bayis, okay, willingly, the hosts are happy to have them, but at the end of the day, they have their own family, and you're intruding a little bit as a guest on their family arrangement. Your job as a guest is to make sure that your intrusion increases shalom bayis rather than decreases. And that involves making sure everyone loves everybody else, how marvellous your husband is, how marvellous your children are, how marvellous your wife is, whatever it is, in a way which creates their shalom bayis and makes it even more special. And that's, I think, a very important thing, that hosts or guests often feel that they're there to be given to. And the answer is, that's not just the case. They're also there to give, and what they have to give is they have to create part of the atmosphere. And I often tell that to my students. When someone tells you such and such a rabbi or whoever it is has a great Shabbos atmosphere,
yeah,
you're part of that atmosphere. If you go expecting them to kind of put on the show for you, then there won't be the same atmosphere because they've got to create the atmosphere. It's like this on Seder, it's like this on Purim Suda. People turn up often for Purim Suda. It's like they go into the cinema. They sit there like saying, okay, when does the show start? I heard it's really amazing. Because you're in the show. If you're not part of the show won't be any good. The guests have to contribute in that sense. Another obligation of the guests, 25-29, interesting Gemara here, Kol Tam and Chochem Shemazalzel Ben Tilish Yadayim Harizim Aguna, seeing a Tam and Chochem who doesn't do Netilish Yadayim properly, that's not nice. Maguna Mimeno, even worse than that is someone who eats in front of his guests. Maguna Mimeno, even worse than that is Oreach Machnis Oreach, a guest who brings another guest unannounced. Okay, the oreach matriach balabayis maguna mishloshka. And the worst of all dinner kind of faux pas is an oreach which is matriach the balabayis, the oreach which makes life harder for the balabayis. The job of the guest here clearly is to make life easier for the hosts, and that might mean jumping up at the end of each course and running to the kitchen. It might mean not jumping up at the end of each course. My wife often says, everyone in the table jumps up, they run to the kitchen, can I help you? The answer is no, we don't have such a big kitchen, we don't need 18 people in the kitchen, and I'm sitting at the table all on my own here. My wife often says, no, two of you come and help, we don't need any more, because the rest of them, their job to help is to talk, to make the atmosphere, to create the atmosphere. And therefore, that's part of the obligation of the guest as well. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins number 30, Hanichnas Labayis. If you go to someone's home, Kol Ma Sheyomer Lo Balabayis Yase. Your job is to do whatever the Balabayis wants you to do. Now, within reason, the Mishnah Berurah brings in number 31, Hayinu Afilu Dava Sheyesh Bo Kitzas Gassus. Srara, even something that you don't feel totally comfortable doing, maybe you're shy. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, you've no business being shy when you're needed to make a bit of atmosphere. Maybe you're humble, you wouldn't normally do this. So you have to go out of yourself a little bit. Of course, if you hold something as osa, you don't do it. But derech she'oise mishum srach isa, you hold something as osa. Of course, if the balabai says to you, you know, please sing a song for us as a girl or whatever. No, but if you hold it also, you don't have to do aveiras, lavor, aval, davashu precious baal, something which is just shyness. Time legomera lehastir me'asav. You have to not be such a big honor at the Shabbos table. You have to come with something to say. I tell my girls. I know it's amazing because you assume I'm 44, you assume people know this, but why would they know this? They don't know, what do they know about how to be a guest? And often when I've taught my students how to be a guest, they often say, you revolutionized my whole Shabbos because now I realize that there are things I have to do. I tell them, you have to come with something to say. You know, you're in full-time learning from Sunday morning till Thursday evening. You have nothing to say? Nothing Jewish to say? Not a question to ask? What have you been learning the whole week? You know, and again, in a comfortable way, people shouldn't feel that, oh my goodness, I've got to give some major advance error, but everybody's got something to say. They have to say it. Similarly, that's part of the halacha as well. The Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, another thing you don't have to do if the host asks you to do is eat more. So if the host keeps saying, S, S, so if you've come to a point when that's it, you don't want to eat anymore, that you don't have to do. And interesting, halacha number 32, we've just got a few things to wrap up. In number 32, like this. Ma chamisha dvarim, mehem chamisha dvarim, says the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, there are certain things, ha'oisa oisan, if you do averas, ein ches kasa l'shuv mehem, it's very hard to do tshuva for them. Nefishahem dvarim kalim be'inei rov be'adam. Because people don't take them seriously, people don't realize they're even averas. V'nitza chayte, it turns out you didn't avera, but who yidam she'ein on ze chayte, you say I didn't do a chayte, ve'elohem. And the first one in the list is, ha'oichel mesuda she'ein mesapekes leba'aleya. You eat from a suda when the people really can't afford to give you the food. That's almost like gezel. You go to some people's houses and they want to be hospitable, but they're really very, very poor. And you pick up very quickly that actually they don't really have very much to give you. And they're probably relying on the fact that there'll be a lot of leftovers for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Because that's how they feed their family the rest of the week. Says the Rambam, when a person arrives in a home like that, it's the halachic obligation not to take very much food. Certainly not to take seconds. And they're stealing if they do. Ah, v'hum adam shaloi chata. He says, what did I do? Did I eat without permission? No, you should have been aware of the fact that even though they said, please help yourself, they didn't mean it. Oh, so you have this balance. On the one hand, you have to take enough. So it looks as though you're appreciating the hospitality, but not so much that actually you're eating food that they need. This is another sensitivity. Number 33, I brought you the halacha that just like the balabai has to make hamotzi, the job of the guest is to bench. The job of the guest is to bench, and the job of the guest in benching is to give a brocha to the host. The guest is meant to bring brocha to the house, and he brings the nusach, which now has found its way into the benching, yihirotzon, shelo yevosh, etc. Shulchan Aruch brings that nusach down, that the guest's job is to bring brocha to the host, etc., etc. And the last thing I brought here is in number 34, which is an interesting halacha. Orchim anichnasim etzal balabayis, enum reshaim litzul milifnei veliten levnoyo la'avda shal balabayis. You, when you're a host, are not meant to play, when you're a guest rather, are not meant to play host. If the host gives you food, you shouldn't be giving it to other people. It's like a strange halacha. Why would somebody do that? And the Mishnah Berurah even brings from the Gemara in Chut, strange episode where there was a famine, and there was very little food, and this person invited a guest, and he gave him some eggs, and he felt sorry for the kids. Nevach, the kids had empty plates. So when the host was in the kitchen, he took from the eggs and he gave them to all the other people, all the kids. The father came back, says the Gemara in Chut, and saw the kids had now got their eggs. He assumed the kids had taken the eggs from the host. He smacked one of the kids on the head. The kid fell off the chair, broke his neck, and died. The wife came in and saw the kid dead. She committed suicide. Then the husband killed himself because the wife had died. This is what you call a dysfunctional family. But the point I think the Shulchan Aruch is making is you never know who you're walking into or what you're walking into. You have to be sensitive not to overstep the boundaries of what you are expected to do, what you're not expected to do, and that's also an important sensitivity. I also tell often my girls, and we'll finish with this, which I'm sure you appreciate this as hosts, it's important to bring a gift which shows that you at least appreciate what people do. Now, gifts don't have to be expensive. And the truth is, gifts actually are fairly useless. If someone's really bringing something useful for Shabbos, they should bring a bag of onions. What use is, you know... But the point is, the gift is not, of course, to contribute usefully to the Shabbos, usually. It's to just show that you appreciate the fact that somebody has been to the supermarket and they've been cooking the food and they've been spending their Thursday nights and Fridays and schlepping around and spending a lot of money. And they invited you. And I find sometimes, you know, I have four or five people come, students, whatever, they say, we brought you a gift, they bring you, my wife, a bag of rogelach that cost 8.5 shekels between four of them. And Zelo name. That's not appropriate. Now, they don't have to spend 50 shekels each on a gift, but it has to be something. 2 shekels each on a gift is not correct. It shows it's a certain disrespect, I think, that they don't appreciate what effort has gone into making them the food. Now, what is right and what is wrong? I don't know. It depends on the individual. Some people don't have much money. Some people have more money.
I have to make one last comment.
Yes.
Many times, and I've heard it from many people, it's important that they arrest the people.
Right.
The children suffer from all this.
Very important, yes.
Very much so.
She's saying that if the children feel that the
specialists when you have orchim that are not religious.
Right.
And a lot, like, for example, I'll give you an example. I didn't name Machon Meir.
Uh-huh.
And I know people, they're always inviting you, and eventually somehow it rubs off on the kids.
Right.
The wrong thing. Very important.
I hear what you're saying, and what you're saying is very important, which is the Hachnasas orchim can't be at the expense of the family. On the other hand,
I think they have to be educated for it.
I think that actually the negative influences on kids, I think, rarely come from the guests at the Shabbos table in the broader picture.
The children have to be part of it. It can't be automatic.
Correct.
Parents do it.
They have to play their part.
The children have
to. Absolutely. Kids expect everything for nothing. Yes. Right, right. Why should you bring gifts to my house? Exactly. So you have to know your people. Yeah. Okay, just 1 second. Where's this last point? Right. Just to be respectful to the guest.
Showed up and connected there and turned
out to be the end of hell.
Oh, yes.
Like really awful. But then in the end, he said, I'm Eliyahu Hanavi, and he did everything to treat me with respect, even though I'm giving you sorrow. You will have child. Oh, so if, guys, if ladies, you have the guest from hell, you never know, it
may
be Eliyahu Hanavi.
Therefore, just be aware of that. Okay.